Thank you. As David said, I'm Catherine Argus. I'm going to be talking today about a few recent developments with IFLA standards and publications, and highlight a few changes with Mark 21 and some LCSH changes. And I apologise for any of you who are all up on this. You know, you can just have a little nap. But, you know, some of you might find this interesting, I hope. Okay. I'll start off by talking about some of the recent changes with the IFLA publications and standards. The Functional Requirements for Subject Authority Data, or FRSAD, was published this year, and that was after 5 years of work. Now, FRSAD aims to provide a clearly defined, structured frame of reference for relating the data that is recorded in subject authority records to the needs of the users of those records. FRSAD is now freely available on the IFLA website at the address that I've got there on the screen. FRSAD is the third of the conceptual models in the FRBR family. And now that the three models have been developed, the next step for the FRBR review group is to actually harmonise and consolidate those three models together. Another IFLA release this year was the Multilingual Dictionary of Cataloguing Terms and Concepts, which contains definitions for many terms and concepts used by the library cataloguing community. The terms and definitions are available in English and 24 other languages. The dictionary includes terms from the International Cataloguing Principles, from ISBD, FRBR, and FRAD. Other terms and languages will be added over time. Now, it's currently available freely on the IFLA website. However, it's actually currently only in preliminary form, so it's not in a nice formatted publication style. It's just a table. But it is still there for any of you who are, you know, sort of looking to do translations of any sort. Another IFLA publication, The Names of Persons, National Usages for Entries in Catalogues, is currently being revised and updated. The current edition, which was published in 1996, is now out of print, but a scan has been made available on the IFLA website at the address on the screen. The title of the new edition will be slightly different. It'll be called Names of Persons, National Usages for Bibliographic and Authority Data, and publication is now not likely until later next year due to unfortunate ill health suffered by the person who's been coordinating the revision. Also with IFLA, the Consolidated International Standard Bibliographic Description, or ISBD, which was first published in 2007, is in the process of undergoing its first review. A draft was made available for worldwide review in May of this year, and the new edition is expected to be published next year. The examples in ISBD which weren't actually reviewed at the time of the original consolidation that was published in 2007 are also in the process of being reviewed as well. Okay, I'll now move on to highlighting a couple of Mark 21 changes. One that I think is particularly important is the ability to limit searches to online electronic resources or to clearly indicate on search result screens which resources are available online. And this, I think, would be of great help to catalogue users. We haven't actually had that facility in the past, and people have had to do all sorts of workarounds. So two new values have been defined for the 00823 and 00829 form of item to clearly distinguish records for online electronic resources from records for direct access electronic resources. The commensurate changes have also been made to 006. They've also added the same codes to the 00822 form of original item for continuing resources. These codes are actually only intended to be used for the main resource being described and not for accompanying resources. And they're also not intended to be used if you're using a single catalogue approach to cataloguing both print and electronic resources. The previous or existing S-coding will remain for those libraries that don't want to utilise the more specific coding. A couple of things of interest that I came across was the International Standard Name Identifier, which is intended to identify the identities used publicly by parties involved throughout the media content industries in the creation, production, management and content distribution chains. Now, these parties can be human beings like a book author, legal entities like a record label, or even fictional characters like Peter Pan. And the ISNI is intended to get in there and to actually be able to disambiguate those identities and to provide a mechanism to enable automated processes between libraries and other data providers, and also to enable more efficient management of rights monitoring and payments in the future. The ISNI is made up of 16 decimal digits, and this is an example of what it would look like encoded in your MARC record. You can see it's been recorded in the 0 subfield in the 100 and 700 fields, and it has to be preceded by the ISNI designation to indicate what it is. In a similar vein, the International Standard Text Code is a global identification system for textual works intended for publication. And these can include prose, poetry, lyrics, screen audio and stage scripts, and other scripts such as sermons or speeches. ISTI is primarily intended for use by publishers, bibliographic services, retailers, libraries, and rights management agencies to co-locate different manifestations of the same title under a work-level record. I had a discussion with someone earlier in the day about the International Standard Text Code, and it's one of those codes that sort of been talked about for quite a while and had a few false starts, but it now seems to be happening. The code consists of 16 numbers and or letters, and again, this is an example showing it recorded in the 024 field, and you can also see that there's a link in the 787 field to the ISTC of the original work. I just wanted to also highlight a couple of changes with LCSH. I'll start off by talking about the changes to subject headings for cookbooks. In response to a long-standing and generally recognised need to modernise the subject headings treatment for cooking and cookbooks, the Library of Congress last year invited public comment to changes to headings for general works on cooking and recipe collections, national and ethnic cuisines and styles of cooking, headings for specific ingredients or foods, as well as headings for that product as an ingredient in cooking, recipes for special types of diets, recipes associated with specific institutions or organisations, and other special aspects of cooking, including method of preparation, type of meal, and category of food. And yes, that's quite a list. There was unanimous support for establishing cookbooks as a topical subject heading, and also general agreement on establishing cookbooks as a genre form heading. And I'll talk more about genre form headings in a moment. The term cooking will replace the term cookery in subject headings. Headings for recipes and recipes for special types of ingredients will remain unchanged. The revision of the subject headings manual, the particular page is H1475, has been updated, and currently it's been posted as a PDF on the Library of Congress website, and that's the link on the screen. It will be included in the next upcoming update to the subject headings manual. And finally, I'll talk about the Library of Congress's project on form and genre headings. In 2007, the Library of Congress commenced a 5-year project to develop authorised genre and form headings. As you know, genre and form headings describe what an item is, whereas subject headings describe what an item is about. The project looked at moving images and radio programs first, with cartography, law, literature, music, and religion to follow. They've already implemented genre form headings for moving images and recorded sound, and most recently cartographic materials, as well as cookbooks. Although the intent of the genre form heading project is to develop a new thesaurus and not necessarily to revise LCSH, there have been times where it's been deemed appropriate, and will no doubt again as the project progresses, to modify or cancel some subdivisions. For example, form subdivisions that include the word maps have been cancelled or revised. In addition to a separate form or genre thesaurus, a separate manual of genre form terms is also being written. It will include instructions and guidelines on proposing and applying LC genre form headings and will be formatted similarly to the LC subject headings manual. Library of Congress is also changing the way authorised genre and form headings are being recorded in authority records and bibliographic records. In bibliographic records, the genre and form terms are always recorded in the 655 field. To date, those headings have been generally coded with a second indicator of zero for LCSH. From late this year or early next year, these terms will be coded with a combination of a second indicator 7 and a source code in the set 2 subfield of LCGFT for Library of Congress genre form terms for library and archival materials. And that's very fuzzy, and you may not be able to see that, but I just wanted to highlight also the change that Library of Congress is doing with representing genre and form headings in their authorities. I mean, obviously, well, you probably can't see, but the genre or form heading is being recorded in a 155 field, but they're also going to actually change the prefix of the control number as well. Currently, it still says SH, so you can't easily, unless you look closely at the record and notice the coding, you're not necessarily going to easily recognise that it's a genre and form heading authority record. But they're going to get in there and change those ones to having a coding of GF. And they'll also change a few other things in the 008 and the 040 to further indicate that those are genre and form headings. Okay, that's all I have to say. Thank you.